Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy Friday, everybody. 97.1 FM Talk, DGS. A few minutes past 3 p.m. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Take a good long look at Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She gone.
I'm out of here.
Oh.
Good for you.
I'm quitting. No. I'm on vacation next week.
She was supposed to be gone this week, but young Taliban came into contact with someone who had COVID. And although he tested negative for it, COVID tested positive for him. So he had to stay out until Monday. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be something if he was the one that took COVID down? COVID just is like, oh my God, we had no idea there was one of these here.
Is that the Ebola kid?
This guy's yard's full of cryptids. He appears to be possessed by a demon with a speech impediment.
Oh, the few, the proud.
I didn't want him to have it, but I would have liked to have seen how it worked if he just ignored it.
Yeah. Is that the way to beat COVID?
Yeah. Works with demons.
Refuse to cough.
Yeah. Just
don't acknowledge it.
Don't even think about it. COVID's gone.
Man, my allergies are...
I can tell. You're really rubbing your face.
Off the chain.
That's bad. That's chizzing.
I keep sneezing. I don't have COVID. It's just pollen or whatever.
Keep saying it. That'll make it true. Friday.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's today.
Last day of the week.
You got it.
2 days till another work day.
I'm dreading Monday.
I say this like once a month, but I just get emotional about it. I love people that work. I have no qualms with people who are off work right now because of COVID. Even if you're taking advantage of the system, because, I don't know, whatever. So, if we're dumb enough to give you more money to stay home than to work, then take it. But, man, I just love people that work. Yes. Whatever it is, just out there doing your job. Good for you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Half of you in this room I have respect for.
Oh, boy.
And we have respect for you half the time. So,
hey, I'll take that.
It
run.
All works out.
Are you kidding me? 50% efficiency?
I just saw, walking in the studio, as you've mentioned before, for whatever reason, the break room television here is on like channel 4.
Yeah.
And so you'll catch, what was the game show you were talking about
Let's
yesterday?
Make a deal.
Let's make a deal. You know, you never know. I saw a commercial for The Ellen Show, today on Ellen.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, all this talk about Ellen, all these terrible things about Ellen, her show is still on TV. I wonder if it's affecting her. Are they people still watching Ellen?
No, it's a good question.
It's a really good
know.
Question.
Like, because none of the drama matters. My guess is it is. My guess is, I'm sure we can just look it up. Go in, Sue.
I'm going in.
but it just struck me like today on Ellen, and you know, and yeah. It's showing her and a guest like dancing together and the crowd going, whoa. And I assume it's all reruns, but if people are still watching, then that's all that matters.
Ratings for The Ellen Show have fallen to an all-time low.
There you go.
You go.
After new allegations.
That's the only thing that's going to really mean anything in this story.
Well, look at like Tucker Carlson. He has been almost canceled about a dozen times this year. Like, I keep reading stories like, that's it. All of his sponsors are pulling off. But his ratings are so big, they quietly come right back on.
Mm-hmm.
I have an Ellen update.
That'll all that matters is the ratings.
Yeah. Ellen DeGeneres allegedly bullied an 11-year-old in 1979.
How old was she?
20. A 52-year-old man claims Ellen bullied him 41 years ago. She was 20 at the time. She called him fat and stupid and criticized the pictures that he drew. Ellen was working for Ben's mother at the time, and he says that he would dread going into the office because of Ellen's insults. She was the meanest, nastiest, most horrible person I've ever met in my life. I would have never said anything until other people started speaking out, but she really traumatized me as a kid.
You know, at first you want to say 1979, okay, that's not really relevant today. And then you read the rest of it, and it does sound like he was really affected, but yikes.
Yeah, I turned around in the middle of that story, too. Yeah.
Rachel's rolling her eyes.
I turned around in the middle, because when you said it, I was like, this,
give me a break. I can't believe it. And then...
But if it was a one-time thing in 1979, I think I ran into Ellen on the street and she made fun of my face.
Right.
But if this was a thing that was a part of his childhood for an extended period of time, and there was this woman that I would have to interact with from time to time because she worked with my mom, and she just... I had terrible anxiety, and she terrorized me every time I was around her. That's a different story than one time in 1979 somebody called me ugly. So, yeah, it depends on really how much impact that has to do. Mm-hmm. Any story from 1979, loses about 80% of its relevancy.
I was never going to say a word, and then everyone else started saying it, and I figured I might as well get some media attention, too.
Yeah.
Why do you hate abused kids?
I don't hate abused kids. I just, come on. I love that Ellen is telling the people in charge, like, I'm about sick of this. I'm going to quit the show if I keep getting criticized. Like, what do you want the executives to go and make common people stop talking about you?
Hey, everyone. She says she's going to quit. Take it easy.
Unless you want her to quit, you better be quiet.
What's in it for Ellen to not quit?
Ego.
Yeah. That's it, though.
Money?
Yeah,
but
beat
she
the
doesn't
system.
Need money.
I maintain that, now I've not been this person. I've not reached an amount of money where I can say, everyone F off.
Right.
But I know a bunch of people who have, and they tell me it doesn't matter. It's great having the money. It changes their life, but it doesn't change all the other things that can affect you. Mm. And I think that when someone has become famous and then their reputation is tarnished, it doesn't matter how rich they are. They're used to being rich. Right. She's not excited by being rich. She's been rich for the past 20, 30 years. But to now go from everyone loves Ellen to she's
a
horrible person.
Yeah.
She's got to live another 30, 40 years with that.
Yeah.
I think it bothers her a lot.
It's got to be ego, because it can't be money.
You're right. I guess I just come from my own standpoint, and I think, boy, how do you pay your more? Okay, well, yeah, but she doesn't have that issue.
Her net worth is $490 million.
Yeah, she can pay her mortgage.
Okay, then
she's got $500 million. She sticks around, does the show for another 10 years, and now she's worth $600 million.
Yeah.
What's the difference? If I see somebody who's worth $500 million and then they're standing next to somebody that's worth $600 million, I don't look at the $500 million and go, like, oh, what a loser. You failed. That person's so much better than you. Like, there's no difference at that point.
Do you think that she hopes that by staying on she can turn it around?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's got to be it. It's got to be all about the ego changing public perception.
Yeah.
I know how to solve all of this.
Let's hear it. Mm-hmm.
You're going to bust on the abused kid again?
No. Before finding Nemo and before finding Dory, you should have to watch a 3-minute educational film.
Trigger warning.
It's a disclaimer about how mean Ellen was, including in 1979. Just get an idea of who you're dealing with before you watch the film. Just like, you know, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Just let people know the monster voicing Dory, and then it's all solved. We can call it even at that point.
So what's going on with Teen Vogue, the paper of record, is calling for communism?
Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. I saw Dan Crenshaw.
There's something called Teen Vogue?
Tweet this last night. Yeah. I used to read Teen Vogue when I was a teen, and it was just about fashion, essentially, and, like, how to get the best pencil box for junior high. Now Teen Vogue has gone rogue, and they recently published this article. They talk about, like, sexuality a lot, which is maybe a little inappropriate for parents who are just buying a magazine so their little girls can like see what Bella Hadid wore to the Met Ball, but okay. They wrote this article recently about dismantling the system of owning property, abolishing landlords. So all this stuff we've talked about on the show, and I've told you guys, I've seen this pop up more and more, and it's so, it seems like it just came out of left field that now you're bad if you own property. I have the article pulled up here. They just go on and on about how it's evil to be a landlord right now, especially people being evicted is just beyond the pale, horrible, which obviously you don't want to see anyone evicted during a pandemic. I can get behind that, but they just take so many steps to saying like the system of renting to people is inherently flawed and inherently evil. And then they wrap up the whole article by, this is the final sentence of the article. We need a housing movement based on a rejection of the construct that any one person should own this earth's land.
These people are friggin' nuts.
So there's only only two reasons to do that. One is they think that's what 14-year-old girls want to read, which is hard for me to imagine. Or two, they're just saying, look, whether it's what they want or not, let's indoctrinate them.
Yeah. Well, either choice is horrendous.
Yeah, I just went to their website, and you know how every website has at the top of the page the tabs. The tabs of like what are on that website.
I just logged into my account and I'm going to tell you something.
It's the tabs are style,
politics,
culture, identity, and summit.
Okay.
The second tab on your website is politics.
Let's dive deep on this.
I mean, obviously, it's a big part of what you do.
What if there is a magazine for teens like Teen Conservative? And it's got the same kind of articles, but the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least
I'm
it's
still
called,
making fun of it.
At least it's Teen Conservative rather than we're under the guise of a fashion magazine.
That's a good point.
To appeal to more teens.
What if it's called Best Puddings?
Well, that's a whole other
and
deal.
All it
I think
is,
you know what you're getting
is
with
a
that.
Commercial for Mitch McConnell.
Instead of seeing housing as a right and something that should not be commodified, so you're out of business, Sue. I'm sorry to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right.
The state enlists its own armed forces, sheriffs and police, to remove occupants from residences if they cannot pay rent. The lack of protections for non-landowners should be no surprise from a country founded on the genocide and colonization of indigenous peoples.
Damn.
Good Lord. These people have... You know what? It's too much for me.
And you can say, like, okay, we did come in here and we did steal some land. Like, that happened. I'm not going to pretend that it didn't happen. But to then make the leap to, and that's why no one should ever own property. So what do you want to do? Do you want to just, everyone can squat wherever they want? Wouldn't you want a place to call your own and a place that's like your domain that if you're stressed out by the world, you can go home at the end of the night instead of just what the government allows you to have?
They're not saying what it is, but the only alternative to it is the government owning everything.
And guess what the government would be? A landlord.
And just saying like, okay, Tony, you live in 5B and Rach, you live in C7 and there you go.
It just feels so counterintuitive to...
I mean, 5B rocks.
To get angry about, you know, the way the United States was formed and like it's all these white men, they came in, they stole the land, they created their own government, blah, blah, blah. It's so terrible. But the government should be the ones handing out plots to people and making sure that everyone has a house. Like, in one breath, you're talking about how corrupt and awful our government is. But then you're also wanting to hand over.
Is there a big outcry?
The only thing I saw was on Twitter, Dan Crenshaw, representative, had tweeted it out. And, you know, there are tons of people going like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is in Teen Vogue. And then, you know, on the other side, people going, they can print whenever they want. I mean, it's free speech, isn't it? And it's like, well, yeah, they can.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird that it's in. If this were in Tiger Beat, it might raise a couple of eyebrows.
Right. That makes it a story, and that makes it valid to talk about.
I doubt very many people read Teen Vogue other than Tony.
You'd be surprised, buddy.
But I can tell you.
I can bring you to a meeting
just
next
from
Thursday.
Having a 15-year-old, I think that is the. It's a little better with Phoebe because she goes to a Catholic school. which is much more traditional in every way because it's religious based and the whole bit. But I think that the kids that age, that's what they're all talking about. Not like, no, I don't want to talk about boys. I want to talk about fee simple and real estate. But I mean, like, that's their politics. As much as a 14-year-old can have politics.
But I don't think they get very deep into it.
No. No.
No, because you know.
That's the kind of article that should be like in The Economist or something.
That's insane.
And it's easy to, it's really easy to say, like, yeah, everyone should have a place to live. I don't think anyone disagrees with that fact. Like, you don't want anyone to be without a home.
Yeah, that's the bait and switch.
You don't want anyone to be displaced. But yeah, they make this leap from, like, no one should ever be without a home to, and property is immoral. And landlords are immoral. And we just shouldn't have that anymore. No one should own any land.
You know what,
that's
though?
That's crazy.
Are people really without a home? I know that we have homeless people. Some people choose that. Some people are mentally ill. They have lots of other reasons. But, and there's help for those people. Let's not pretend like there isn't. There is. It may not be the best help. It may not be, you know, the most,
we
something
could use,
that
there could be more
it
help
could use
for
work.
Sure.
It could definitely use work. But let's be honest here. If you are a non-compromised person by something, you can have a place to live. It's not that bad. In society, where the hell am I going to live?
Especially, I bet.
I guess
most
I'm just going to live under a bush.
Teen Vogue,
yeah,
aren't they have somewhere to go?
I think they're overblowing the problem. You know, because if you didn't know, if you just showed up from Venus, you would think very few people have homes.
And they're definitely not working on the problem. We can work on the problem. There is a problem that needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
But
well, and evictions have been frozen in the city of St. Louis because of COVID. I can't think that we're the only major city in the country that's done something like this.
And
so it's almost like they're making up a problem that we haven't gotten to the end of that.
And this doesn't strike me as being a COVID article.
No.
This strikes me as being
indoctrination.
Before COVID and after COVID, it's still immoral for anyone to own property or charge you to stay on it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, I love Kiss, but they're not poets.
Lick It Up, is that what you're saying? Is, huh.
Of course you went there.
It's the first one that came to my mind.
How are you and Dave Murray not married swingers, living in an RV, traveling Wyoming, looking for young couples to prey upon? With his enormous head and
oh my goodness,
your knowledge of bumblebees.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, I know how to take it up.
Man, really set the stage there,
really
too.
Was. It was.
Trying to get in everyone's kitchen because we're about to play my favorite game.
I know their whole life backstory now.
Right? You can picture it. You can picture it.
Can I just say that on the on the cover of Teen Vogue's website, along with the abolish landlords, housing should be a human right story that we just talked about. The first two stories on here are Jacob Elordi says he didn't watch KB2. Joey King begs to differ. I can read those words.
Wow.
I don't know what
could mean anything.
I don't know one
could be code
thing. And then the other main story is the Amazon Off to College store has everything you need for virtual classes. Wouldn't that be a laptop? Like,
seems like it.
Everything you need for virtual classes. Here's your laptop.
They're marketing something for Amazon.
Yeah, the Amazon. That's the headline on here. That's a great point.
In the free market.
The Amazon Off to College store has everything you need for virtual classes.
Interesting.
I wonder if the editors of Teen Vogue own property. Like, I wonder if the person who wrote that article owns property.
They do.
Yeah.
Or I wonder if the owner of Amazon, who they're in cahoots with and promoting on their front page of their website, I wonder if that guy owns...
I think they're Condé Nast. Is that
what his
backstory is? Condé Nast. That's a pretty big company. I'm thinking the people in charge there probably have some assets.
And like you said, they obviously have a relationship with Amazon.
You know, like...
Absolutely.
I think Bezos has some assets.
I've never seen a person do it. Follow Jesus' advice, like, hey, master, I've done everything I know to do. What can I do? Sell everything. Right. Sell everything you got. Follow me. Yeah, not so much. Like, Bernie Sanders is rich. He's got multiple homes.
Three homes.
Elon Musk talked about, I'm going to sell everything I have and not have a home. Nope, didn't happen. Now he's worth $100 billion more than he was last week.
Yeah, what happened to that?
His wife is like, what, are you crazy? So people don't do it. Maybe someone's done it, but shut up. Unless, look, I will have you on my show and I will give you all 4 hours. If you were wealthy and you sold everything and you live like a pauper because you think that's the right thing to do, come on in.
Nancy,
come in and talk to me.
Nancy Pelosi is worth $120 million, according to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much of this, though, is just in fashion right now. Like, it's trendy
they
to agree.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, it's got to be that because I see, and this is anecdotal evidence, but people I know in real life that parrot these kind of, because it's talking points,
mm-hmm.
and they've learned it from propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same people that 10 years ago, you remember like everybody had around 4th of July a American flag tank top and it was like hashtag America. That was like the trendy. It was stupid. It was cringy. It was too much. But the same kind of people. It's just like, oh, well, this is what culture's doing right now. It's trendy to agree with this and be like, yeah, you know what? It is wrong to own property. I don't own any, so it's really easy for me to get on board with this. I have to think this, I hope
buy
this will
Amazon.
Blow over in 5 or 10 years. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
like,
I am.
The same people have Amazon Prime accounts.
I am.
It makes no sense.
Far and away, the most open minded personality on this station for something other than the status quo. I'm wide open. I was born into a country that has capitalism. I've grown up with it. I've been broke-ass poor, and then I've made some money doing this. But I'm not married to it. Like, if you said, hey, look, I'm going to tell you a secret. There's a tiny country right off of Norway, and they're totally socialist, communist, whatever, and everyone's so happy, and they live to be 110. I wouldn't be like, screw those guys. Ben Franklin didn't found this country. I'd be like, let's go visit. And if I went and I visited and I liked it, I would stay. There's not a cell in my body that feels like I need to defend capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we've been doing this for a few thousand years now, and nothing else has really worked.
Yeah. But present something that
present
does.
Something that works, and I'll leave in a minute.
Even the we've
show me something better.
We even talked about the defund the police, dismantle the police, a community with no police
force.
Yeah,
Minneapolis, let's see you do it.
Go for it. I'm not ready to live there yet, but if I don't begrudge you or withhold your right,
nope.
if you have a big enough group of people and you can win some elections and set up your community and have a city in here in the United States without a police force and prove that that's the better way to go, I have no problem with that. taking it by force and telling people this is the way we're going to do things now, whether you like it or not, that's the problem I have. But if you, if everybody's on board with it, show us, maybe you'll prove.
I don't think that if we're still around in 200 years, we'll have the same system. We'll change. We'll evolve. We'll probably have five or six between now and then. We certainly won't have 2020 or 1980 capitalism. And I'm willing to change now. But just don't try to sell me something.
For the sake of change.
Yes, exactly.
Without
or it makes you feel good.
Right.
Or it puts you on the right side of not being a monster. Like, you're talking about real stuff. You're not talking about feelings.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. And they are basing that on feelings. When they say it's immoral to own property, it's immoral to be a landlord. Well, explain that. Explain why. Because you're just throwing something out on the table and
saying, this is
what it is. And they're playing on your emotions. Mm-hmm. And I just fear that so many people, particularly in my generation, hear that and go like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to be bad like the baby boomers. I want to be better than that. You know?
That explains why I'm not killing it.
Yeah.
I think that's just as big as anything else.
But it just depends on whether or not you believe that. Maybe not capitalism, but the incentive to do better is embedded into the American dream. That's what a lot of people look at this country as, is an opportunity.
Here's the way I look at it. America was built on F you. We don't want the Church of England.
Religious freedom.
When you were born in England, you were born into a class. And you stayed in that class for the most part. And here, anyone could be anything. And
they were taxing us, and they weren't representing us. That's ultimately what pushed us into...
Right, but I mean the things that we did not do that they did over there.
Right.
And so here, the way I've always thought about it is, it's equal opportunity. Now, was it equal opportunity for everyone? No. It wasn't equal opportunity for Black people. Or Hispanic people, or gay people, or there's a whole bunch of types of people it wasn't fair to. And so you change that. You change it systemically. You can't change people's hearts. You can't change a racist, misogynist person, but you can change the laws. But having a place where you have the opportunity to succeed or the choice to not to, and I think we go too far. Because you have the opportunity to not do well, but we're still going to take care of you. I think that's kind of screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we have Dr. Tiffany Osborne with us. Hello, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Sure. So, Doc, I am admittedly completely confused and befuddled by I don't know where we are with COVID. If you watch one station, it's worse than it's ever been, and we're all goners. And you watch another station, and it's getting better everywhere, and a vaccine's going to be here by Christmas. Help us to understand, from your point of view, where we've been and where we are.
Sure. So from my point of view, you could probably say that there's a little bit right in a lot of those perspectives. So what we're seeing right now, whenever we had our surge in like March and April, what we were seeing was a lot of people who were coming in who were older. And because they were older and because they had other medical problems, they were very, very sick. So in St. Louis, in the St. Louis metropolitan area, right now in our community, we're probably seeing anywhere between 600 and 1,100 new cases every day. Right. So between 600 and 1,100 new cases every day. But what we're also seeing is that a lot of these cases are younger people. So where before the majority of people were over the age of 65, so 30-40% of these cases were over 65, and they tended to get much sicker and required more hospitalization and more ICU stays, and more of them didn't make it out of the hospital. Now what we're seeing is that there's a younger group that's getting it, and about 30% of cases are under 25 years of age. And, yeah, so we have more cases, but it's more younger people. They still get sick, and some of them still require the ICU, and some of them still don't make it out of the hospital. But as a whole, they don't get as sick as the group that we had before.
So, Doc, let's assume that we don't have a vaccine until, say, middle of 2021. Is there any reasonable chance, and I'm not even sure what herd immunity is, but I kind of get the basics of it. Is there a way to beat COVID without a vaccine just from going the way we're going, or is it really going to ultimately depend on a vaccine?
So I have to tell you that the truth of that answer is I don't know. And I think anyone who tells you that they have all the information on that probably isn't giving you the whole story.
Gotcha.
I don't think we know, and I don't think that we're going to know right now and until we get closer into it. But what we will end up seeing is what I think we're going to end up seeing. This is my prediction. This doesn't represent anybody else. This is just my thoughts about what we're going to see. I think that when states opened up and we had 4th of July and we had barbecues and we had a lot of younger people who were going out and you know, sort of socializing more, they felt like it was safe. And believe me, like you were saying, there's a lot of confusing messages as to what we should be doing sometimes. So I think that's where all of this is coming right now. And I think over the next 4 to 6 weeks, unless we're very careful about wearing masks and being careful about who we're coming in contact with, I think we're going to start seeing older people who are in contact with a lot of the younger population. They're going to start getting sick again, and they're going to start coming in.
That's a great point, Doctor. This is Tony Colombo. I kind of wanted to tie those two points together. You talked about the younger people getting it and it not affecting them as much as the older people. And I've heard this argument. I've even heard people like Fauci talk about that type of coronavirus as the common cold style. Like that's more of the effect that it has on children. At least, like I said, that's what I've heard people refer to it as. And so the line of thinking there is that, okay, some of these numbers are going up, but it's not, but coronavirus to these kids and to many people that get it isn't as deadly as some in the media or as it has been portrayed by some as it is. So, you know, it's not as big of a worry that these numbers are going up because people aren't getting as sick. I've heard that defense used. What is your response or your thoughts on that type of an analysis?
Well, I mean, we still have over 160,000 people who are dead right now from this. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that we can say that it's not impacting people, because it clearly is. And there are days when we have 1,000 deaths every day. And clearly that is showing us that it does impact people. Now, here's the thing is that you, and especially like when we're coming up with school right now, right? I get this question a lot about school. You sort of have to determine your risk. And the risk is determined based on a number of things. But I would divide it into two things: your personal risk, like your personal physical risk, and then your environmental risk. So your personal physical risk is, you know, do I or my child, does my child have any medical problems? Do they have asthma? Do they have diabetes? Do they have, are they obese? Are there any medical problems that my child has that puts them at risk? And then you have to think about, is there anyone living in my household that is at risk? So if my child is healthy, is there someone in my household that my child could bring something home to? When you're thinking about what am I going to do with virtual classes or in-person classes, but that also goes for us in general. Then you look at what is your environmental risk. And your environmental risk is how, you know, what is the prevalence or what are the number of cases of COVID in the area in which I live? There are some counties in there are some counties in Missouri that have very low number of cases right now. So that would be in your thinking as to what your risk is. In St. Louis, there's a lot of cases in the community. Mm. So those you would want to look at what is the environmental risk, what is the, my personal physical risk, and then with that environmental risk associated with school, it's going to really be like, you know, how am I going to get my kid to school? Am I going to let them ride the bus? What kind of screening is the school doing that makes me feel like they're making sure sick people aren't coming into the school by mistake? What kind of processes does the school have set up for, you know, is everybody supposed to wear a mask? Are they trying to keep them distant? What are they doing about lunch? How are they doing cleaning? And then are they allowing, is your school allowing a combination of, you know, like in-person and virtual classes so that you can make those class sizes small? And are they giving people whose child may be at risk or whose family members may be at risk, are they giving them an opportunity to be virtual versus in-person classes? So those are things for people to think about when, I mean, that's what I thought about with right. my kids in school, right? So that's some ideas of what people can think about when they're trying to determine their risk. But I think what's really important here is that can kids get sick? And the answer to that is yes. Do they get sick as often as adults? No. But if it's your kid that gets sick, you don't care
right.
if they get sick less often than adults, right? So, for example, there were around 750 kids that tested positive in our area, and about 100 of those kids required hospitalization. So that's around 13%.
All right, and if Doc, you look we're going to we're have to drop it there. We're past for okay. a break. Thank you so much, though, Dr. Tiffany Osborne. We appreciate it, Doc.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good day, and thanks again.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
2 minutes shy of 4 p.m. DGS. Happy Friday. I may have missed it, but I've been looking for it. I know that Joe Biden was, quote unquote, walking back his whole debacle about black people, but nothing I've seen or heard explained what he meant. Has anyone seen that? Mm-hmm. Like, he gave a big thing like, hey, I want to clarify. And then he never clarified. He just talked about how much he's done for black people. Like, look, dude, you said something really specific that everyone in the world thought it was one thing.
Right.
Now you're clarifying. To me, clarifying means you misunderstood me or I misspoke. Here's what I meant to say.
And I've heard a lot of other people say, here's what he meant to say, or here's what he was referencing, here's what he was talking about. He was talking about the voter base and how it's how African Americans vote more consistently than Latin Americans in one area. Like, I've heard a lot of people give, but I don't like when people do that for the president.
No.
I don't like when people say, well, what he meant was, or the reason he said it that way is because he was just trying to get attention for this or whatever. Like, would people have to explain what your meaning was?
Yeah, not only do I want to know what he meant, I want to watch him reason his way out.
Yeah.
One thing that's important when you want to be the leader of the free world is that you're able to think on your feet and you're able to explain yourself and you're able to get yourself out of a sticky situation. I want to see him do that.
Yeah, but when does Trump do that? When does he say something or tweet something and then he has to get on TV and clarify it?
Every day.
It's Kayleigh McEnany doing it.
Oh,
for
no,
him.
No, no, no. He does it all the time. He does it terribly. But think of all the times when he's been asked in these interviews, Jonathan Swan and Chris Wallace, what did you mean by this? And he explains it. It, for my taste, he does a terrible job, because typically what he does is either just go, yeah, it's exactly what I meant, and it stays horrible, or he'll just lie about it and say, oh, yeah. Did. So I just want to see what Joe does. Like, how do you handle this?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.